The first scripture reading is from Acts 11, verses 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." And from John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. I don't know how it could be even more beautiful than the first service, but it was. And thank you, congregation. This is a long one today, this worship service, but you're hanging in there, and you've got great music to look forward to, and we just heard this wild story from Acts. Sheets coming down out of heaven with animals in them. Wild animals. Strangers, Gentiles, oh my! Who else will be invited into the realm of God? And we find our friend Peter, that brash, wayfaring stranger of a disciple, who, if you know the stories from the gospel, is always in trouble. Peter is always sticking his foot in it. He's always rushing ahead. And then there's that whole thing about him denying Christ at the arrest and the crucifixion. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit descended to the people, the followers of Jesus who were gathered in hiding, when the Spirit descended like tongues of fire, and suddenly they were talking in all different languages, and what was amazing, Jews from all over the world were gathered, and they heard Peter. Peter became the spokesman for that new movement, stand up and preach the gospel. And ever since then, Peter has been following the Spirit wherever it leads him, whether he understands it or not. He has healed in the temple on a Sabbath day. He has raised a woman from the dead. He's been talking to Ethiopian eunuchs and bringing them the word of God. He has been all over Galilee. And now we find him in the principal's office. He is standing in before the disciples in Jerusalem. James, the brother of Jesus, as the head, and all the other disciples who are gathering that fragile young faith community. They are gathering them together and taking care of, and they've called Peter in because they've heard of all these wild things he's been doing. Peter is in trouble because he's following the Spirit wherever it leads. So, if you want to read the full story, you've got the story from Peter's mouth, go to Acts 10 sometimes to get the whole long episodes of what's happening. Peter has been called to this home of a Gentile. Now, to begin with, he's staying at the home of Simon the Tanner. That's not cool. Doesn't sound bad to us, but a tanner dealt with dead animals. A tanner was ritually unclean, impure. And yet a tanner held a necessary job for the community. And the Spirit has led Peter to stay at Simon the Tanner's house. And so he is minding his own apostolic business, busy with prayer, up on the roof of Simon's house. And he is praying fervently. He falls into a trance, and this sheet comes down from heaven. Someone once described to me this sheet. I always thought of it since I was a little kid, heard the story, you know, a big old white sheet. But someone once described it to me as a big red checkered tablecloth coming down with all kinds of barbecue in it. Maybe there was some shellfish, a little lobster, a little clam, or a clam bake, you know, all those forbidden foods. Unclean. And the voice says, Peter, take and eat. And Peter is a good Jew. He's determined to be a good Jew. He says, No, I can't do that. He must think he's being tempted like Jesus in the wilderness. I can't do that. And so three times this happened, and as soon as the sheet goes back up into heaven, and Peter comes out of his prayer time, not one, but three men come. Three men come from Caesarea. Now, if this town was in western Nebraska somewhere, it'd be called Caesarville. It's the town of Caesar. This is the town of the Empire. Three men are coming from the center of the Gentiles. The Roman garrison from a centurion whose name is Cornelius, who is what they call the God-fearer. He followed the ways of Jehovah, the God of the Jews. He gave alms, he prayed, but he didn't follow all the laws of the Torah, and he hadn't been circumcised, and he really wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile. But they come from Cornelius' house because Cornelius had seen a vision. At just about the same time that Peter did, Cornelius has seen this vision of an angel who says, send to Joppa for Peter. Peter has the answer and has the words of salvation that you need and your whole household needs to hear. So Peter goes. He follows the Spirit. He probably doesn't understand what's happening, but he goes with the men. And he reaches the home of Cornelius. And when he hears the man's story, that's what I imagine. He hears the man's story about the angel. And this is a big old Roman centurion. Can't you see him and all this stuff? An angel. He hears that and he sees the open mind and he experiences the open heart of this man. And then it all makes sense. It makes sense to him. His vision makes sense. And Peter proclaims loudly, "Now I understand there is no partiality with God." And he begins to preach. Well, of course he does. He's a preacher. He begins to preach. And he begins to tell the story of Jesus. And the people in Cornelius' house get excited. And lo and behold, the Spirit descends on these Gentiles just as it did on the Jews at Pentecost. And Peter extends to them the rite of Jewish baptism, of reconciliation, of forgiveness for sin, acceptance by God. That's why he's in trouble. That's why the disciples in Jerusalem have called him in to explain himself. What are you doing? Sharing the rites of the Jews with uncircumcised Gentiles. What are you doing eating at their table all those unkosher foods? What are you doing, Peter? And Peter explains. Well, you know, sharing with Gentiles, that we're kind of going, what's the big deal? What's so bad about sharing with Gentiles? Gentiles are us. We are the Gentiles. Who wouldn't want us? But that's not the way it works. You see, Peter had been coaxed by the Spirit into abandoning the very core of his Jewish beliefs at that time, the purity laws, keeping the laws of the Torah, keeping those so he could be a good Jew, he'd be a good follower of God, but he has abandoned that. He has been coaxed out of that. Not that he would never do it again, wouldn't keep the laws, but he's been coaxed out so that he can bring compassion and the love of God through Jesus the Christ to wherever the Spirit leads. That's why he's in trouble. You know, I have to kind of have some sympathy for old James and all those furrowed brow disciples sitting there listening to him and questioning Jesus. I mean, they were in the midst of trying to start this new community. It says that after Pentecost, 3,000 were added to the community of new followers of Jesus. Well, that might be a little bit of a hyperbole, but still, a bunch of people came into community. They're all trying to hold everything in common. Can you imagine? This is an administrative nightmare. They've got a lot on their plate. And here's Peter out there making trouble, following the Spirit. Isn't that just like us sometimes? We have our boards and our committees here in our faith communities. We have our beloved ministries. We have our causes. We have those in our community that need to be taken care of. And I can tell you as a pastor, that can take all your time and energy. Just taking care of the flock that's here, not to mention anybody that's on the outside. And those policies that we make in our councils and the way we run our church, all of those are necessary. All of those are very necessary. We wouldn't get anything done without procedures and policies and making good decisions and having good business sense. I mean, I know that. You guys pay my salary. I know that. However, we get so caught up that we forget, just like those furrowed brow disciples in Jerusalem, we forget the Spirit of God. We forget that Spirit prompting us into new things, into new realities. The disciples had forgotten that Isaiah said years and centuries before that the anointed one, the Messiah that would come, would be not only for Israel, but a light to the nations. The disciples forgot that. that Jesus was always meeting Gentiles right where they were, healing and teaching and including them in community. They were so worried about surviving, they forgot. And now Peter comes and tells them the story, and oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Peter, you're throwing our sacred laws out the window. But did you hear what happened? When Peter gets to the end of his story, there's a silence. They were silenced, it said. That kind of silence rarely happens in church meetings. But there was silence. And you can see the wheels turning. And you can see the Spirit moving. And here's the miracle. The real miracle is that the Spirit descends again right there into their hearts, and they are changed. And those worried disciples suddenly go, oh, we get it. We get it. God has extended God's salvation and welcome and love and acceptance even to the Gentiles. The Gentiles, those Romans that oppressed them. We get it. New Testament scholar William Williman, some of you know him, has written all kinds of things, but he's written on this passage, and I wanted to share with you today something he wrote about that just really jumped out and grabbed me when I was reading his commentary on this story. He wrote, "Faith, when it comes down to it, is our often breathless attempt to keep up with the activity of God, to keep asking ourselves, what is God doing and where on earth is God going now?" Faith. We are faith communities. We're not the United Way. We're not a philanthropic nonprofit. We are faith communities. And so it behooves us to breathlessly keep asking, what is God doing and where on earth is God going now? Because that's where we need to go. Following the liberating Spirit of God. We are all wayfaring strangers. We all need the Word of God and the fire of God's grace pouring down on us, like we heard in the beautiful arrangement of the cantique, Barre's cantique. And when we follow the Spirit, we have to remember what we get. Wild animals, strangers, Gentiles. The invitation is to live in God's big picture rather than only in our little one. May we never forget to follow the untamed Spirit of God. May we love one another as God has loved us with wild abandon. May we always be up for the surprises of the Spirit calling us into wholeness and into reconciliation.